I thought I'd preached on Thomas before, maybe on St. Thomas's Day, but apparently not on this Sunday. Looking back at my sermons on file, seems I've managed to get this Sunday off for pretty much the last 10 years. So I kind of wrestled with whether to use this gospel passage that we've just heard as the basis for my thoughts for this week, or to go with 1 Peter, or to take something from the book of Acts. But I couldn't let Thomas go. Thomas seems in so many ways an easy target, always remembered as the one who needed proof, the one from whom, of course, we get the saying, Doubting Thomas, a saying still used, even though many people don't know the root and deeper meaning of it, or phrases like the prodigal son, or treasure in heaven, or faith like a mustard seed, or even Job's comforters that I heard just recently. Thomas is remembered because he couldn't accept the stories that the other disciples were saying, because he wasn't with them when Jesus appeared. Doubting Thomas, because the fantastic events recounted by his friends were too much to grasp, because he needed more. Thomas, who is given, it seems, a reprimand. Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. But you know it's a setup, right? It's like so many times in the gospel stories, when the disciples don't grasp who Jesus is, even though it's clear and plain and simple, and then we're reading it. They are put there so that when we read it, we can say, well, they didn't get it, but I do. I know who Jesus is. And we can feel very smart at having been hoodwinked by the gospel writers into this way of seeing and believing. Not that I think, and I wouldn't want to get in trouble here, not that I think the writers or the editors of the Gospels are being deliberately duplicitous, but they are setting out with a clear and stated agenda, as said in the last verse of John's Gospel, which we heard just now. These are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. They are deeply convinced of the reality of Jesus, the God human, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. They are passionate in their desire to share this understanding of faith with others. And the story of Thomas is one way in which they offer us to connect our faith with the faith of the disciples. We, the ones who have never seen, with the ones who saw. To have our faith, the ones who have not yet seen, yet come to believe. Our faith is affirmed in this story. And there is encouragement here, because honestly, if this were the case, how would you or I have reacted? Jesus is dead. Stony cold, really dead and in the ground kind of dead. For those of us who've lost anyone to death, we know something of that loss, that devastation, that emptiness that comes with bereavement. Death is very final, and the loss stays with us. We don't like talking about it. In fact, in many ways, it's the last taboo that our society holds. But it is a reality that changes us immediately. Even 40 or so years later, I miss my grandparents and the compassion and the encouragement they gave me in my formative years. And 27 years after my father's death, I still have days when I miss him terribly. His wicked sense of humor, and I mean wicked in the real sense of the word, and his forthright way of expressing his opinion. That's putting it politely. So we know how it feels to have lost someone we care about. It was summed up perfectly by a colleague of mine who came to visit from Washington, D.C. as we talked about our role in leading funerals, and he said simply, yeah, death sucks. And that's how the disciples must have felt. Devastated, lost, afraid of what might happen to them, very aware of their own mortality, I'm sure. Their grief and loss was so overwhelming that they gathered and locked themselves away in that upper room, comforting and supporting one another, all but Thomas. The gospel story says they had an encounter with Jesus risen, an encounter that was real to them. They felt his breath upon them. They heard his blessing of peace. They shared in that moment of resurrection life, but Thomas didn't. No wonder the disciples' excited babbling about seeing Jesus alive again, about him reappearing in the upper room, made no sense to him. No wonder he wanted some kind of proof. And Jesus gives him what he needs. We have no record, despite the cover of today's bulletin, if you look closely, we have no record of Thomas checking out, I'll get there in the end, the holes in Jesus' hands and side. But the story tells us that Thomas also had this encounter of resurrected life, this vision, and kneels to worship Jesus, declaring Jesus his Lord and his God. But would we have been any different? Would we have walked into that room of excitable disciples and said, yes, of course Jesus is alive? I'm pretty sure I wouldn't. So I think this comment, blessed are those who have not seen me but still believe, is not so much a criticism of Thomas as an encouragement for us. We don't have the chance to see Jesus in the flesh for ourselves. We have the witness of Christians through the ages and the stories of faith and the divine spirit within us to hold us in our belief, however we may interpret it, that Christ is alive. The whole resurrection of Jesus thing is well beyond my intellectual capacity to grasp. I cannot, as they say, get my head around it, but I can get my heart around it. I don't think it needs to be a literal event to hold to, but I do believe in the reality of resurrection life. And as a sidebar and a repeat of something I've said before, to believe, at least in Old English, is to be life to something. Not an intellectual exercise, but to cling to something that you find trustworthy. To hold it to you and let it hold you in return. An attitude of heart. I find encouragement in the story of Thomas. It gives us freedom to doubt, reminding us that doubt is not the enemy of faith, reminding us to seek our own vision of Christ and of resurrection life. And we can see throughout Scripture that Thomas is in good company. St. Paul and other writers of Christian scriptures repeatedly struggle with what this faith business means. Our Hebrew forebears are constantly trying to get to grips with the demands of faith and the calling of God. And even in the story of ascension, when Jesus is recorded as being there, Matthew 27 verse 18 says, "And they worshipped him, but some doubted." Doubt is part of what makes us human, part of our faith. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. Unbelief is. Struggling with, thinking about, asking questions, wrestling with, all these aspects of faith is part of truly engaging with the adventure of spirituality. This life of faith that binds us to one another, to God and to creation, with depth and resonance. Thomas's response is not at all abnormal, and in our gospel story, Thomas goes beyond those doubts, though I suspect, like all of us, he didn't leave them behind completely. The tradition and belief of the church is that Thomas, like all the apostles, went out to proclaim and to live the gospel. In fact, it's believed, as you probably know, that he founded the Christian church in India, which still exists to today, the oldest denomination in that great land. The Martoma Church, in which our brother John Thitamanil was formed. Thomas's faithfulness and desire to share the news of the living Christ took him eventually to another land, and it's believed that, like most of the apostles, Thomas was put to death for his faith. But he reminds us, this story reminds us, that we need doubt in the church alongside our faith. Our willingness to ask questions alongside a desire to explore our faith and open ourselves up to the divine life. We struggle through our difficult times as we walk, but we keep walking. Reading this account of Jesus' resurrection appearance encourages me because it tells me it's okay to doubt and that Christ meets us with grace and outstretched arms. It challenges us, too, to consider our part in the Missio Dei, the love and outreach of God, reaching out to the world in grace. Will we let the story of Thomas the Apostle, Thomas the Believer, Thomas the Friend of Jesus, inspire us and challenge us and motivate us? If so, how? As a community, as followers, as people of spirit and of hope, how will we seek this resurrection life and share that fullness with all? Thanks be to God. Amen.